This is episode 119 with Puneet Sachdev.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxas.
Welcome, everybody. Today I have with me Puneet Sachdev, and he's known as the creative philanthropist. He's a children's book author, and we're going to be talking about his journey to becoming an author and also discuss some tips on how to become a contributor and also become a creative philanthropist. But, you know, since he's a storyteller, I'll have him tell us his story first because I believe he'll do better justice to that than I can. Welcome to the show, Puneet.
Hey, thanks, Tio. Thanks for having me on this program.
Pleasure's all mine. So, what is your story? Tell us your story.
Yeah, sure. You know what? I was reflecting about this, and here's something quite interesting, actually. It is exactly this day in September, 11 years ago, that I left my country for the first time. That was the first time I ever went overseas. And ever since that day, I have actually had the opportunity to live and work in four different continents. So that is quite a pleasant coincidence.
Four continents?
Yeah.
There's someone else who's lived in four continents right here. But
that's you, isn't it?
Wow, that's crazy. Wow, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, and, well, professionally, I'm a management consultant, and I have my own brand of coaching, which I call Game Changer Coaching. As a coach, I work with people who want to make a difference and help them accomplish their dreams and desires. As far as my story is concerned in the context of UID, I think you'd probably best describe me as an adult TCK or third culture kid, since I was born and raised in India and both my parents are from India. My dad was from the Navy, and my mom worked in the corporate sector. I have a younger sister. She runs a very successful intellectual property rights law firm in Delhi, although she's quite international herself.
Wow.
But, adult TCK because I moved overseas when I was grown up, you know, in my late 20s. And, which was 11 years ago, I moved across to the home of golf and whiskey. Well, no prizes for guessing. That was Scotland. Yeah, and I went there to do an MBA from the University of Edinburgh and lived over there for about 9 years. Very much enjoyed that city, played golf. I completely enjoy golf. I'm not a whiskey drinker, so I missed out on that one. Made some great friends, performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in theatre. It's the most amazing, incredible performing arts festival in the world. I think it's the largest of its kind. 3,000 shows, 50 different artists from, 28,000 odd artists, 50 countries in the month of August. So if any of the listeners ever get a chance to go to Edinburgh and you can do so in August, that'd be really great. And make sure that you attend the Edinburgh Military Tattoo as well, which takes place at the castle. It's just amazing.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, those are the years that I spent in the UK, mainly in Edinburgh. After that, I got an opportunity to work as a management consultant based in San Francisco in 2013. And interestingly, the beginnings of which took place when I was traveling. So they were cousins of mine from different parts of the world. We decided to meet in Prague. This was around July 2012 that I'm talking to you about. And on the last day, we were on a river cruise on the Vltava River. My cousin's husband then asked me, what do you do for a living? I had met him for the first time, actually. And I mentioned, so he further inquired if I was interested in working in the United States. because there could be some potential opportunities at his consulting firm. Well, then I was put in contact with the talent director of the firm, and I underwent the selection process, and as they say, the rest is history, which got me to the United States. And you know what, believe it or not, that was September 2. So there's something over here about September.
September is very symbolic for you, huh?
That's right. So yeah, that's about exactly 2 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So that's been my little traveling history, if you may say so.
Okay. Now, was it during one of your travels that you discovered that you wanted to be an author?
Not really. Well, okay, let me see, how do I answer this question? How do I discover I wanted to be an author? Well, you know what? It did start off like that. Are you ready for another story?
Oh, I'm ready. This is all about storytelling. I'm all ears.
Okay, well, you know, it started off because when I moved to the United States, Ila, who was my four-year-old girl, she was not there around at the time with me over here. So now I would miss her quite a bit, and I was based in San Francisco. My client was in Chicago, so I was traveling almost every week. And I decided during that time that I would like to make her a nice birthday gift. She was 3 years old then, and it was a nice creative fourth birthday gift that she would remember for a long time. And I thought, okay, what can I do for her? So that's when I decided that I am in fact going to make a book for her, and the book is going to consist of the story which I would make up on the nights I had responsibility to put Ila to sleep. And I started writing that. It was mainly written on this 3:40 p.m. flight on a Friday afternoon when I was finishing off my work in Chicago and flying back to San Francisco. So most of the writing of the story, which is called Deepa Wishes Daddy Happy Birthday, actually took place while I was flying up in the air and stuff like that. So that's how that took place. And many of the incidents of this book, they actually have taken place in real life, and they become the framework for the story. The story itself is about this girl called Deepa who lives close to Corbett National Park, one of India's very beautiful wildlife areas and tiger reserves, which is located in the sub-Himalayan belt. So that's where it was set, and it's Deepa who goes from India, and now she's going to Australia. She's going to meet her grandparents over there because Kate is Australian. So, and she goes out over there, and it's a cultural comparison, and there's this underlying tension in Deepa's mind. What is she going to be doing for her dad's birthday? And she creates a beautiful thing for her dad's birthday, which she actually did in real life, which Ila did for me in my life. So many of these things are based on facts and incidents which took place, and that's how it came about.
Wow. Now I read that it was very important for you to find an Indian illustrator. Is that correct? Why was this so important?
Okay. It would not have been a showstopper, but yes, it was important because it's a kid's picture book, as you know. It's, you know, for three to four-year-old children, and there is a good amount of play on the Indian culture. And what makes books appealing, the kids' books appealing, are the illustrations. So I was keen that somehow the colors and all the uniqueness of India should be able to be brought through, which is quite striking. And it only made sense to work with somebody or collaborate with somebody who knows the Indian context, may or may not be based there even better. And through a connection, I was put in touch with this lady who lives in Delhi and is one of the top, I think, 50 or 60 female illustrators of India. So I've been working with her. And that's how it, yeah, that's the reason.
Oh, well, it's good. You know, one of my lifelong dreams is to be an author, but like I like many people, have fallen prey to that excuse. Like, it's too much work. I can't do it. My writing is not this. You seem to have stumbled across it, and you've almost perfected a system where you even help other authors right now. Well, what have you found has worked?
I think the biggest difference is to get started, really. I think it could be anything. You know, I'm sure if you look back at your own story on UID,
Yeah.
You would probably say something similar, where many people think about it, you went and did it.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it was. I mean, that is the one thing which I feel which helps me, is that if I would like to do something, I generally am able to find the energy and the motivation to do what I've got to do.
Gotcha.
So, started it off, and of course, you know, if you've got this beautiful child, 3-4 year old kid there, that is a serious amount of inspiration, you know? So that helps.
That's well said.
It's a matter of starting it off. I've done a lot of project work in my life. You know, I'm pretty decent with systems, procedures, conceptualizing, reverse engineering things. So in terms of planning, putting a process and following that, that was fine because I did that kind of for a living, so I just leveraged those skills. But I think the key is getting started, and if you can have some external motivation to keep you going, that's great.
Awesome. And you describe yourself as the creative philanthropist. Can you talk to me about this vision?
Yeah, sure. Now, I like that term, actually.
I love it. I wish I came up with it.
Yeah. This term, how did this come about? I did not Google search or anything like that, by the way. This wasn't a conversation with one of my coaches. So I tend to work with different coaches at different point in time because I really feel that that has a lot of value to add in an individual's life, especially if you've got things to do and places to go. Well, this came out in a conversation with one of my coaches, and it kind of struck because we were talking about different things, about my management consulting and how am I going to work, how am I going to keep the momentum on the authorship. I've got about 2 more plots which I'd like to write about, and this came out and I said, wow, I love this term. And then I went on to Google after that to see, is anybody using that term? I don't think I've come across anybody, but, you know, my search has been fairly limited. I didn't want to really, yeah. So the concept being, it's very simple, using your creativity and you're contributing to doing something good. Okay, so creative philanthropy. And as you know, that 100% of the money from the sales of the book, which I've written, is going to go to support children's education. The vision which you asked me, it's quite simple. It's going to evolve with time, I'm sure about that. At present, the drive is to support education of underprivileged kids, to help them as they, you know, become young adults, to build a secure sense of identity, a kind of mature orientation towards their life with an ability to be able to express their true feelings. I think many of us, as we grow up, we become really excellent at hiding and putting on masks and not showing what we feel. So that's the kind of big picture vision. For now, it's really short strokes. These kids, we've identified a school. It's located in the Himalayas. It's about 200 miles north of New Delhi. It's called the Mercy of God School and is run by this young couple in their 20s. Fantastic couple. They grew up at an orphanage and they decided to get married and to dedicate their lives to helping the education of the kids in the local areas that they live. So in May of this year, I was out there. It's incredible what they're doing. And the kids, and you look into the eyes and stuff, it was awesome. So right now, initial support is very simple things like art and craft materials, computers, a school bus, you know, which is not that expensive. It's about $3,000-$4,000. You can get them a decent school bus. And a school bus, because they are kids who are as little as 4 and 5 years old, who walk about 5 to 6 miles each way and back from school. And you can imagine during harsh winter months, in the hills, 9,000 feet above sea level, you know, that's treacherous. So
yeah.
We are hoping to do that. I mean, the book is not going to be the only way it'll get funded. I'm hoping that people can get behind it and go onto our GoFundMe page and help us generate funds that way as well. So we are looking at partner organizations and volunteering. So it is early stages right now.
What is this GoFundMe page?
Well, GoFundMe page is where the book project is essentially a crowdfunded project.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that's a page where people go and they donate money towards the book. And all the additional money they're going to use towards funding the school bus.
Oh, so you're saying, but no, but what's the link to the GoFundMe page so that we can get people to go over there and support?
Yeah, okay. The GoFundMe page, give me one second. Let me just try to think about it.
Yeah, and you can send it to me later and we can put it on the show notes. Because I definitely want, I love the cause because education, I can tell, is already very important to you. I mean, whether you're helping aspiring authors or you're helping underprivileged kids, you're committed to educating in some form, and I think that's really admirable.
Yeah, I think, well, I can do that for the GoFundMe, but what people can do as well is in terms of what will be helpful. Do you mind if I share that with the listeners?
Oh, I love it. No, please, go ahead.
So I think there are three ways where the listeners can engage and help us. Number one is if you want to buy the book. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Author House, which is the publisher of the book. My preference would be if you're buying a book to go to the Author House website, because a larger percentage gets committed towards the author, which means, I mean, to the book school. Essentially, everything is going to go towards that school. The second way is to simply make a financial contribution by going. You can go onto my author website. It is thecreativephilanthropist.strikingly.com. If you go there, on the navigation on the left sidebar, you will see a link which says want to contribute. If you click there, it'll take you to the GoFundMe page and you can contribute over there. Or if you simply want to just write to me an email and want me to send you information, the email is creativephilanthropist@gmail.com and I can send you details. And the last way which you can help is if this cause resonates with you and you would like to volunteer in some shape or form, then please reach out once again. That would be great. You know, social media skills, generating awareness, fundraising, helping organize international book readings, etc. So these are three ways by which the listeners could engage with us, and I'd really appreciate any help. If nothing else, just send us some good vibes, California style.
I'm definitely going to put that in the show notes for sure. And I think these causes are ways. I believe in collaboration. I believe in education. And I think it's just by way, every little step that we can do to help make someone else's lives better. I think that's great. So we'll put this there for sure and make sure people go out there and support. And thank you once again for doing that.
Yeah, no, thank you for helping me with all that I'm doing.
Now, okay, so back to your personal life here for a second here. How do you manage your personal and, your professional life essentially? Because you do a lot. You do consulting, you know, you're an author, you help, you know, raise money for underprivileged kids, and you have a family. I'm just curious, how do you balance out that?
How do I balance that out? I don't know, it all
difficult
works out.
Question, right? Difficult.
Let me think about this a bit. You know what, here's the deal. I think when you are, well, generally in life, I feel it's important to take care of your health, okay? That's just number one priority. But I feel if you are traveling, it's all the more important to be able to do that. Because, you know, you've just got to be able to, it's a lot of change. You've got to be able to find a tethering point within yourself, some way of returning yourself to your center. What I personally do myself on a daily basis, I have a stillness practice, like a mindfulness practice, which I do every day, 30 to 45 minutes. I would say about 5 to 6 days in a week, I do that pretty consistently. I've been doing it for a very long time, so it's a very ingrained habit, and it's a beautiful one. I think it's one of those habits with the least amount of effort and expense. It gives you the maximum amount of value add to your own life. On a weekly basis, I tend to do a bit of exercise, whether it's working out in the gym a few times or going for a swim or going for a run. And a monthly basis, I would get a massage, and I try to also have a movement practice like a conscious dancing, five rhythms. I don't know if you've ever come across that. It's just beautiful. I discovered it a few months ago. And I do that maybe 2-3 times in a month.
Conscious dancing.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's five rhythms dancing, which was, I believe, was created at Esalen, close to the Big Sur, and Gabriel Roth, she was the one who created it down there, although they are now based not too far away from where you are in New York City.
Huh, okay.
So that is that. As far as doing the various bits and pieces, you know, shifting between working and personal life and the creative philanthropic work, etc., I think what helps me the most is some kind of a weekly game plan, that this is what I want to accomplish during the week, and then plan out my day. I do that. I try to do that as often as possible, I try to do that before I go to bed, just to have a general sense of what my day is going to look like. I don't try to schedule every hour of every day. I put down the big blocks and I leave some room for any kind of contingency. But I think that really helps. It allows you to have direction. It allows you to manage focus. I know some people, what they do is they tend to have days which are blocked off, that this day I'm going to do my creative work. These 3 days I'll do my consulting work. This day is for invoices and admin and stuff like that. So there are a ton of ways that you can do that.
Awesome. No, I love it. It's a lot of self-care in there. And, I think a lot of the mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs make is, you know, forgetting to take care of themselves. But you definitely put that emphasis on there. And I love that you do that, because I have to remind myself that all the time, because many times I'm not as good with that. And I get reminded. My mom's like, Tyler, you know, you got to take it. You got to sleep more. You got to drink more water. And she's right. So, I'm glad.
Lunch instead of a protein bar. Does she say that as well?
Yeah, I did. Well, you know, one thing I'm good at is exercising and doing the workout. But at sleep, right, I am very bad. I have a good diet, but my sleep is bad. And I'm always one of those to be like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. But that's a very bad thing, because then, you know, I need to really shift my mindset on that. But it's good to have one of these reminders every once in a while. So
it helps you.
Yeah. Okay. So, at As Told by Nomads and UID in general, we're all about improving culture awareness. You come from, you have a multicultural background. Can you tell me how you help your daughter with understand different cultures, and how you yourself came to understand different cultures? Because you said you were in India and you became an adult third culture kid. So I can imagine you had several, maybe culture shock, reverse culture shock, experiences in your personal life, and then maybe you in a workplace you have to deal with people from different cultures, and then your daughter's growing up in San Francisco and she's like, I'm an Indian, I'm an American, you know, it's like, you know, several mixes here. So I just want to know what that process is like for you.
All right, let me answer that for you. I'll talk about how it is for myself, how has it been for me, and how it is for Ila, which is my daughter.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, because my dad was from the Navy, so we got opportunities to travel a bit within the country, quite a bit. But also the general life was very exposed to different people and things. But what helped me the most was my initial formative years. I used to actually run food and beverage operations, a part of the food and beverage operations for this really fantastic hotel chain called the Oberoi Hotels in Delhi. As a result of which, I was used to meeting people from all over the world, cuisines and things. But I can imagine if somebody has not had the exposure, it can be quite a shock. Food, temperature, all of that stuff. So it softened. It was kind of a soft landing for me, because I knew the terminology. I had an idea of what people eat overseas. I had interacted with them. So, but the fact is that I think the more you travel, the more different people you kind of meet up with, it just opens up your mind beautifully. I think a few things that it has done for me is, and I guess you could probably watch that as well, given the amount of travel you do. For me, it has been expanding my comfort zone tremendously, and having also a certain level of comfort with the unknown. Because you're so often thrown into new environments. Even in, you know, management consulting, you're just given different problems to work on. So I think all of that just helps you grow and reduce your judgmentalism and all of that stuff. I don't say that I'm great at it, but I really think that all these things that have happened in my life definitely have helped me. Now, to the question about Ela. Now, if you ask her, Ela, which country are you from? She'll say, Daddy, I am from Scotland. Well, because she was born in Scotland, okay? 2011, 31st of Jan, she was born over there. It was a home birth, water birth. I had the chance to actually, you know, bring her out of the birthing pool and stuff. So she would say that she is Scottish, but it's great for her that she has traveled before the age of 5 to so many different countries, and she'll grow up that way. I have this romantic notion, which I hope that I can fulfill, is once she's 8 years of age, every other year, I would like her to visit some of the world's best educational institutions for two reasons. One is that, you know, cultural exposure, as well as that she can get inspired in case she would decides to do graduate school at some point. So she will actually be a true third culture kid.
Yeah,
you know, mother's Australian, dad is Indian, and the girl is Scottish and lives all over. So she'll have fun.
I think it's so funny that she identifies as Scottish now, and I wonder if that's going to change as she grows older.
Right? Because she's pretty adamant about it, you know?
Yeah.
Recently, in preschool, she was given this assignment that you talk about your home country for a few minutes. And she said that I want to do this on Scotland.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's good. She's made up her mind. It's like, nope, it's Scotland. No, that's cool.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the one thing which I'd like to share with you and the listeners. It's a very interesting poem that I came across on Third Culture Kids. Do you mind if I do that?
Oh, please. This is all you. This is your show.
Okay, here you go then. My life is tethered to a rolling stone. My dreams are anchored in the wind. I come from here, I come from there. In truth, I come from everywhere. My tongue does not have a mother. My language is an open mind. Before I learned how to talk, I already knew how to fly. Comfort for me is a constant motion, continent to continent, ocean to ocean. Now, I do not know who this is from. It wasn't credited, but I came across this on the internet. Isn't that beautiful?
That is amazing, and that accurately captures everything. Because it's like you come from here, you come from there. I remember, you know, as a kid, always trying to figure out where I was and, you know, where I fit in. And it was always like, here, there, where am I? You know, and airports became one of my favorite places. They still are to this day. People think I'm weird when I say that, but I actually love airports. And but it became home for me.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was that. Thank you for sharing that poem. I think I've read like excerpts of that poem, but not in its full extent, like you just shared right now. So that's great. That'd be great. Since staying on this travel thing here, before we go back to your mysterious author name. You say you travel a lot. Do you have like any stereotypes that you've come across I imagine is, you know, there's someone that's Indian or originally. Do people just come up to you and say weird things? The weirdest thing someone has told me is that beyond the asking me if I'm a scam artist when I find out from Nigeria, it's like, do I live with lions? Did I grow up in huts and stuff like that? But I'm wondering if you had similar experiences.
Yeah, well, in the elevator, first of all, people think that somebody will say, are you from Egypt? Are you from Israel? Are you from Italy? some of them say, are you from India? And then the conversation gets into, so you must be working in IT. Oh, no? Oh, you must be a doctor then. I said, no, I am none of these.
I'm a professional, and not all Indians are IT professionals, but it's okay. that's interesting. I love hearing this, because to me, I say stereotypes are the laziest ways to understand culture, because they make assumptions about who you are and what you are without actually knowing who you are and what you are. That's what I always say, and it's always interesting to me when I come across someone and I say, it's interesting you say that, but actually it's not true. When someone assumes Africa is a country, for example, I'm like, 50, 54 countries, you know, over 50, but it's okay.
That's right. It's quite an amazing place. I was there and I did some work over there earlier this year. I spent about 3-4 months in, spent some time in Botswana, Swaziland, and in South Africa.
South Africa area. All right. What's been your favorite country so far?
My favorite country so far, oh my God, this is going to be a tough one. Well, to be honest, I think I just love Edinburgh and Scotland. I think it's just the most stunning place in the world. There's no doubt about it.
All right. Are you a big tennis fan?
Oh, not at all. I play golf.
Okay, so, so that's good then. I was going to say tennis or golf because Andy Murray is Scottish, but you play golf. That's, you know, a lot of golf tournaments there, right?
Oh, yeah, the British Open. So Scotland is the home of golf.
Yeah. All right.
Written in Edinburgh, actually, in a place called the Leith Links. I think it was like 1758 or 1759, where this surgeon called John Rattray, he wrote the first 12 rules of golf over there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, then, whenever we meet, you're going to have to teach me how to golf, because I am horrible. Horrible, and my patience for golf is so thin. Because every time I think I have a stroke down, and I go in there, I'm like, oh, I just missed that ball again.
It's the same no matter how long you've been playing golf. So I promise you that.
No, but it's cool. You know, speaking of, you said Scotland's a home of golf. I know there are many, I guess, golf is getting sort of a renaissance right now with like a new crop of people. You've got Spieth. You've got this guy that just won the last, I forget his name.
Jason Day,
he just won another tournament. He's doing really well. Yeah, and then there's obviously the British guy. Wow, I'm forgetting his name. Either way. Yeah. And then so it's like these three are just taking over. So it's interesting as just transitioning away from Tiger Woods, even though Tiger Woods is still a big draw. So I think I definitely follow the golf storylines. I just wish I could play as smoothly as they can, especially this Jason Day guy. I think I'm starting to like him. So,
He's a great guy. He's a great guy, and he has a great story as well.
From Australia.
Aussie guy, and he's had to battle it out quite a bit, but he's awesome, man.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so we're almost done here, but I know there's this fun fact about you. You don't write under your name. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, my author name is Mr. P. Now, why? For two reasons. One is that it adds a bit of mystery to it. And the other larger reason is that I just kind of wanted to marginalize myself, because this effort is not about me as much as it is about supporting this larger cause. So I think it's a combination of those two things. It's a bit of fun as well, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. It's like your nom de plume, right? It's always great to have one of these names, these pseudonyms. Like, oh wow! I remember when one of the books that J.K. Rowling came out with, she came under a different name, and when people found out, they're like, oh wow, that's very different from Harry Potter. But I think, you know, she sort of did that to had that mystery there for sure. Okay, and then I hear that you're not only being generous with your time, but you're also generous. You're trying to be generous with your to some of our listeners.
I will be, so as I mentioned, that I have my own brand of coaching called Game Changer Coaching.
Yes.
And it's mainly to work with people who want to make a difference in community and society wherever they are, no matter what age they are. So I'm happy to offer 3 30-minute sessions free of cost for the first listener who would write in requesting for that. And I'll be also happy to offer 5 signed illustrations, 8 by 11.5, to the first 5 listeners, essentially, who write it to my email ID, ask me for it, and they can send me their address. I will post it out to them.
All right, and your email address is what?
It's creativephilanthropist@gmail.com.
Creativephilanthropist@gmail.com. All right, you heard it. First 5. And you get some time with
and
the man.
For the coaching one, though, okay? 3 30 sessions, it could be around a project that they're trying to get off the ground, or it could be around clarity, around purpose, etc. Whatever they would like to do, I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. And before we let you go, how do you use your difference to make a difference, sir?
How do I use my difference to make a difference? I think, well, we've covered it, but summarize it for you. I believe I use my difference to make a difference by helping people who are doing interesting things in different parts of the world connect with each other. I do this in two ways. One is by just simply putting people in touch via email, and the other is through my Game Changer coaching, because the bigger vision of Game Changer coaching is, as I grow that, as I continue to work with clients in the United States and overseas, there will be this community of Game Changers, and I would really be keen to build forums for them to get together, to meet up, maybe fall in love, create some great stuff, and build some peer-to-peer coaching networks amongst them. And the other one is what we've spoken about, being able to use my connections and resources to make a difference to support the education of the kids that we've been speaking about.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So you can reach Mr. P at thecreativephilanthropist.strikeandlead.com, and I'll put this in the show notes. And is there any, and you already shared your email, is there any other way that, are you on social media or any other thing that we can reach out to you on?
Yeah, I mean, you can just find me on Facebook. It's Puneet Sachdev, which is on Facebook, on LinkedIn. So you can, yeah, that's absolutely fine with me. No problem.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and gracing us with your presence and also telling your stories. I think you're one of the better storytellers we've had on the podcast, and I love stories. So I was just sitting down listening to what you're saying. I really, really do enjoy stories, and I think you have a good way of weaving your stories and connecting them to themes, and I love that. So thank you so much for doing that.
Hey, cool. Thank you so much for having me here. And thank you to the listeners. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Our pleasure, for sure.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.